Let us pray. Infinite God, the Christ who has walked among us, you have raised up from death. The love Jesus embodied, you have set on the throne of the world. In humility, we open our hearts to your word. Speak to us and repoint the very compass of our hearts, that they may point to you alone and to your love. We pray in the name of the crucified and risen and exalted Christ. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of John. As Jesus prayed, he said, "I ask on behalf of those who will believe in me that they may all be one. As you, God, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. God, I desire those whom you have given me may be with me where I am, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." The word of God for the people of God. A reading from the letter to the Ephesians. The God of our sovereign Jesus Christ, the Father and Mother of glory, has embodied among us in Jesus the love that creates and orders our lives and makes them good and beautiful. I pray that God will awaken in you deep awareness of God's presence and love. With the eyes of your heart enlightened, may you have the hope God has for you. May you live in wonder and trust of the gifts we all receive as God's beloved. May you come more deeply to trust the immeasurable power of God's love. It is divine love that raised God from the dead, raised Christ to rule the universe with love, to rule over all human dominion and all realms before and after humans, in the visible world and the unseen. All things are subject to the sovereignty of love, and we, the church, are the body of Christ, the body of that love, love that fills everything and contains everything. Everything. Alleluia. The word of life.
The book of Acts is the second volume following Luke's gospel. And one of the ways we know that is the way it begins. In my first book, O Theophilus, I wrote about everything that Jesus did up until the time he was taken up into heaven. After his suffering, he appeared among them, alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared for 40 days, speaking to them about the kingdom of God. And while he was with them, he told them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what God had promised. He said, "This is what you've heard me tell you before. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." When they were all gathered together, they asked him, "So is this the time that you will restore sovereignty to Israel?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that God sets by God's own wisdom. But you will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said this, A cloud took him up out of their sight, and he was lifted into heaven. And as they were standing there gazing up into the sky, two men in white robes suddenly appeared with them and said, "People of Galilee, why are you looking up into the air? This Jesus, whom you saw him go into heaven, will come in the same way you saw him go." The gospel of the beloved, Jesus Christ. Think of your first kiss. That was a time when you really, really fell in love with somebody and they loved you. And first there was a little flirting and then there was some courting and you drew closer and closer. And then the day comes when there's that first big, serious, real, deep kiss. I bet in the middle of that, you didn't stop to explain it. If you did, that might be a hint as to why you're not with that person anymore. You can't explain a kiss in the middle of it because you can't talk while you're kissing. And you don't do that in order to give a message, right? There isn't a point. There isn't a moral to that. It's just something that you experience, something that you share, something that you go into. You're not being given a message, you're being given a relationship. And it ruins it to explain it. Never try to explain the story of the ascension of Christ. As soon as we get into thinking, wait, did that really happen? Did he like whoop, float up into the air? How did that work? Where did he go? You spoil it. Because it's not a message with a point. It's simply an experience that invites us into awe and wonder. It's simply a thing that reminds us that the Christ that we follow isn't some little guy that we can sort of keep watch over. That Christ is beyond our understanding, does not make sense, can't possibly be real, except that it's real. As soon as we try to figure it out with our logical brains, we lose it. But when we're just willing to be in awe and wonder, and imagine this mystery, that this love that's so intimately present with us is also infinitely transcendent, then instead of getting a message, we get a relationship. A relationship with this mysterious Jesus, who is both somebody who walks alongside us and shows us things and teaches us things and listens to the little details of our lives and heals us and guides us and all those little things that we need so much. And at the same time, is this cosmic reality that's so infinitely beyond our ability to understand or comprehend, that it's as if we've watched Jesus just float up into the sky and we just shrug and say, "I don't know what that means. Don't ask me." We can pull some things out of it. We can say, well, it's sort of an image of how Jesus ascends to heaven and reigns over all of the universe. But that doesn't really make sense. Especially, it makes no sense unless Jesus reigns over our hearts. Then it makes so much sense that you can't explain it. It's sort of like balance. You can't really explain balance, you just do it. You can't tell somebody how to balance. They just have to do it. You just have to sense what's in balance and what's out of balance. It's not a message. It's a relationship that ultimately just invites us into awe and wonder, asks us to love, to serve, sometimes just to break into song. That's good enough. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the mystery of Jesus, who is both such a near friend and also such a cosmic mystery. We open our hearts to your presence that is both so intimate and also so infinite. God, we give thanks that Jesus is great enough to be beyond our control or understanding. We pray simply for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.